How many of you have Facebook? Good portion of you. For New Year's Eve, every once in a while, I would go back onto my Facebook page and I would look and like the people who are wishing people Happy New Year's and whatever motivational and encouraging things they were putting on Facebook and stuff. And I happened to see one from a person who I know their personal story of what they went through in 2018. And they, let's say they had some colorful words for 2018. And knowing all that they went through for 2018, I can say that though I definitely would not have used the words that they chose to use, I can see why they feel that way about the year going by and being in their past. Has 2018 drained you also? Today our scripture is from Lamentations 3:21 through 25. Open your Bibles so that you can follow along and see where my words are added to God's word. It's important when you're listening to a sermon that you see where the minister is expounding on what's there and what God's word actually says. Lamentations 3:21 through 25. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He's saying life appears to be miserable, but I remind myself of this promise from God, and it gives me hope that things will get better. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We are not burned up. We are not destroyed, for His compassions never fail. On this side of eternity, here's the promise for you, directly from God's word, His compassions never fail. He knows what led to where you went, and His love for you remains. God's heart still desires your presence with Him. You are still the longing of your Heavenly Father's heart. He says, I know what's going on. I can help you fix it. Come here, let me put my arms around you. I still love you. This part of the sermon reminds me of a time when one of my daughters really messed up, made a bad choice, and I see one of my daughters in the back with her eyes open. It's not her. Really messed up. Was standing in the middle of her bedroom, facing the consequences of what she had chosen to do. And tears were running down her face. And when I came around the corner and saw her crying, I went in and I put my hands out to her and I gave her a hug. I told her it would be okay. That we would help her through this and she would get through it. It was one of the greatest moments in my life, being able to wrap my arms around one of my children and say that we'll get through this together. Nowhere in that time did I say, I'll take away your consequences for the choice you made. But I said, we'll get through this together. God is saying the same thing today. He's saying, I'm here. I still love you. I'll help you. We'll get through this. Back to verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, in the night, in the dark moment, whenever I'm having trouble seeing through the situation that I'm facing, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. His promises stand. He will lead me through. He will lead you through. Wait for His lamp at your feet to light up the next step in your darkest hours. He hasn't left you there. He's found the perfect moment for your foot to move, and the light will shine when that moment arrives. He is with you. He is for you. Verse 25 says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him, to the one who draws closer to the Lord, He will draw closer to them. The title for our message today is Closer to Where I Want to Be, and I Want to Be Closer to God. How about you? New Year's resolutions involve recognizing that last year held some things that I'm not particularly proud of. And since a new year has started, I'm going to try to leave those things in that previous year. Some vocal people speak negatively about New Year's resolutions because the vast number of them are never fulfilled, and the majority of them are abandoned completely before the end of the first month. But should we surrender to staying the same just because change takes time, effort, and many times of getting back up and trying again? I believe Scripture has some wisdom for us on this. Let's start with a verse we just read. The Lord's compassions are new every morning. Or maybe you're used to hearing it this way, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. You may have messed up again, but God doesn't kick you to the curb. He says, come on, get up. Let's try this again. You'll get it. His mercy, His compassion is renewed over and over and over again. God knows your heart. He knows when you're abusing grace to satisfy your own desires, and He knows when you're recognizing that something is not right, but struggling to change the imputed wiring in your brain. A few weeks ago, I talked about how when we make choices in life, they end up, well, we're used to hearing it like this, it builds a habit. You do something so many times and it creates a habit. Well, the scientists have done studies and they found through sticking electrodes on the top of people's heads that those habits actually form wiring in your brain. They can see that when a person gets used to doing something like this, these lights, these electrodes, these parts of their brain fire up and they get used to doing something a certain way, and that habit becomes wiring in their brain. And even though they may get to a place where they want to change it, now their brain, when they see or do this, triggers this over here. And before they know it, they're walking down that path again. And so, imputed wiring in your mind, imputed thoughts, is thoughts that you don't want to have, that you're going down anyways. And when I talked about this a few weeks ago, I said that there is ways to change your mind. Scripture talks about renewing your mind, and you can come out of those places. Your brain can be rewired, and they've done that scientifically as well. It can happen, but it's done by your choices. Nobody can do it for you. The scientists can't go in and change the wiring of your mind. You have to physically decide to do that yourself. You have to decide, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm going to do this instead. And it will become the new habit in your life, the new direction your brain thinks when you act. When you're trying, God's mercies are continually renewed. Keep getting back up and trying again. All of heaven is cheering you on. And when you're not trying, God's compassion still rests on you because He loves you. He knows what's caused this in you, and He knows how long it's going to be before that right moment arrives for your desires to shift back in line with His. God knows the whole story. He knows how it ends. How about sanctification? In water baptism, we are publicly professing, I've died to my old sinful ways and been raised again into a new life with Jesus Christ. I'm born again and renewed. Through the justification of Jesus Christ, on the day that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are instantly cleansed and looked upon by God, just as if you have never sinned. These are fundamental truths. And what that means is that as a minister, I need to make sure that every message I speak follows along with these guidelines. Justification, sanctification. I just last week went for my ordination oral interview where I went and I sat before all these leaders in the Assemblies of God, and they asked me question after question after question, and when I started, they told me there was 99 questions. I don't know if we actually had 99 or not, but it was a little while. And they wanted to make sure that every question they asked me followed along with these fundamental truths, so that when I stand up here on a Sunday morning and I preach God's Word, I don't follow along in some skewed theology, but I keep preaching about salvation in Jesus Christ and justification through what Jesus did for us, that He took upon our sins when He died on that cross. He paid our debt. These fundamental truths of Scripture speak of, bam, you're renewed. It happens instantly, and this is how God sees it. This is how it happens on God's side, because He sees the whole story from beginning to end. He sees it all at once. But God knows the human nature, and He knows we need to be sanctified. We need to go through a process by which God slowly and methodically whittles away all the unrighteousness that has become a part of our character. He knows that our side of this renewing will take time, patience, and many times of getting back up and trying again. He knows for us to catch up with what He sees instantly, it's going to be a while longer. Sanctification is a lifelong process by which we keep trying, getting closer and closer to Christ-likeness with each restart and successful turn from an unrighteous behavior. The Holy Spirit leads us through this process, whispering each command to us as we go, and correcting each misstep that causes us to begin again. If God set promises and instructions like these in His written word, what do you think God would like you to do with the things of last year that were not good? How do you think God would like you to set your focus in this new year? Do you think that God is for the idea of renewing your mind, your heart, and your direction? Do you think that God backs a resolve in your heart to try again, to change the way you did or didn't do something last year? Do you think that God gives you grace, saying, today's a new day, let's try this again? Though God is not looking for your New Year's resolution to be your focus, He is looking for you to let go of yesterday, receive His mercy this new day, this fresh start, and set your sights to follow the teaching of Jesus again. Whatever you went through or avoided in 2018, set your focus on God so He can lead you through 2019 and to the other side of whatever you've been facing. Scripture is full of promises from God that says He is waiting to help you. Look up. His hands are out to you. He loves you. He says, you're my child. I want to help you. We can get through this. This week is the Assemblies of God National Week of Fasting and Prayer. I'm asking each of you to join me this week in fasting and praying. I'm asking you to give up some of your regular routine this week and draw as close to God as you personally can. We're doing this all over the world as a united body of believers. For people who don't know that Jesus is the only way into heaven. For people in our local community who God calls us to look upon with compassion and be a good neighbor to. For the leadership, stewardship, unity, and personal healings in our local churches, ours being this church, Solid Rock Church, and for the Holy Spirit to radiate from us. I'm not content with just getting by. God didn't call me to hold a space for a while and then move along. He called me to spread His good news. With His good news comes changed lives, healed lives, people receiving the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus sent out the disciples, He gave them the same power of the Holy Spirit that He was working through. Scripture says the Holy Spirit that is given to us by Jesus' promise that when He went back to heaven, He would send the Comforter, the Counselor, to be with us. That same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was working in when He was walking on earth is the same power that resides in us. With the Holy Spirit, they prayed and people were healed from sicknesses. People were freed from demons that were holding them down. Strongholds that were holding them captive were broken. There was signs and wonders. There was fruit. There was evidence that God was at work in and through them. The promise of the Holy Spirit did not end in that first generation church. The scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit carrying through with us all the way to the very end of time. There will be fruit in our lives showing His presence with us. November 25th, God put a strong sermon on my heart. And I stood up here and I talked about incident after incident after incident of seeing God's hand move, of praying and watching miracles happen. There's people in our church that have talked to me about times in their life where they sought after God and they saw a miracle happen. These things that I'm talking about, this fruit in our lives, these miracles, these signs and wonders, they do happen. And there's people sitting next to you who've seen it. It's available to you. It's a promise from Scripture. Draw closer to God and He'll draw closer to you. I cannot pastor this church without the Holy Spirit. He shows me the message every week, every single week. When I get done preaching, when I get done preaching today, I have no idea what next Sunday's message is about. From beginning to end, I have no idea. But this coming week, God will speak to my heart, just like He has every week for the past year and a half. And He'll show me the direction He wants me to go. And He'll show me the scripture that He wants me to use. And then He helps me write the sermon. And I say He helps me write the sermon because when our sermons started getting recorded, they weren't getting recorded through the sound system. They were getting recorded through an iPhone. And so every distraction that happened in church was getting recorded with it and over the top of it. And so we couldn't share them. But it was helping me grow. And the way that it was helping me grow is because I get up here and as soon as I walk away from that notebook, I have no idea what I'm saying anymore. I'm just being led along by the Holy Spirit on what to share and what to say and what parts of my life to put out there so that you can relate to what I'm saying. And so when I get to watch those sermons back or I get to listen to them now as they're recorded through our sound system, I get to hear that part where the Holy Spirit led me to say something to share my life with you so that you can relate your life to whatever God is speaking to our hearts at the time. For some of you, when I share a story, maybe it's not something you can relate to, but I can tell you for certain that the majority of the time, I hear from somebody throughout the week, or many times several somebodies throughout the week, who can relate very well to whatever was shared. And that story, that time that I broke away from my notes, was very important to them. I cannot do these Sunday morning sermons without the Holy Spirit. He flips the words coming off my lips around so that they reach your heart in whatever way you need that day. I don't pray it every Sunday out loud when I start service, but I do pray every single Sunday and leading up to Sunday that God will take the words that He's putting in my heart to share and He will adjust them as they leave my lips and reach your heart for whatever you need. And again, I get people that come, and this has happened long before I even came to Solid Rock Church, people who come and talk to me about whatever they heard in the sermon. And there's times where I sit there and think, I don't remember saying that. But I'm glad God spoke to you in that moment. God changes the words as they leave my lips to mean to you what you need to hear at the moment. And that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you guys would see and hear what I see and hear as I stand up here every week and you would be bored. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit and how He reaches your hearts with His Word. I know there's more. I know there's more for us than moving words on Sunday morning. He has real power, real breathtaking signs and wonders. He has things waiting that have no explanation other than that was an act of God. And He has these in His Word, not just to grab our attention for a moment, but to show us that He's more than just words. He is with us, and He is acting alongside us throughout our lives. He is bringing these signs and wonders to grow our faith and show us that He is real, and He is really with us. Every time something happens in your life that's a miracle, it's not just intended to be a blessing for you. It's intended to show you God's glory, to draw you that much deeper to Him. That's why God interacts in our lives, to increase our faith, to show us that He's real, to draw us closer to Him. Dig down this week, and let's get closer and closer to God. He promises that as we draw closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. As we align our heart and mind, words and actions with His desires for our lives, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on us until we overflow. We will overflow in the Holy Spirit power, and signs and wonders will follow. Will you commit with me today to spend the next 7 days setting extra time aside to draw that much closer to God? Will you open your mind to the possibility that God can just follow through with you and reveal something in your sight that will expand your faith? I'm not asking you to, and in a few minutes I'm going to go through fasting and prayer, but I'm not asking you to starve yourself this week so that you can be part of our group, okay? I'm asking you to join in fasting and prayer so that you can get that much closer to God, and I'm asking you to pray to God that He will do something in your life that will grow your faith that much more. God knows what you need. God knows what sign you need to see that will help you cross that line of wherever you might be stuck. Pray bold prayers. I've heard it say, pray God-sized prayers. Because when we pray little tiny prayers, Lord God, this person's sick. Please guide the doctors to give them a pill that will make them better. And the doctor gives them a pill and they get better. And my faith didn't grow at all. Because, well, did God do that? Or did the pill do that? I don't know. Pray God-sized prayers so that when you see God move, you know that there's no other explanation for that other than God did that. There's no limits to what God can do. Have faith in Him. Ask for a God-sized prayer and let Him show you that He's real, that He loves you, that He's moving around you. Have faith. Some of you have already experienced some amazing things, but according to the Bible, there's more. In fact, more than we could think to ask for or even imagine. Draw closer to God this week and let's open our hearts and minds to all He has in store for us. This is what I'm asking you to join me in. I feel like I'm leaving some people behind with prayers of faith and asking for something big and letting God interact in your life. This is the part in my sermon where I'm going to explain fasting and prayer, but I feel like I need to share some of the stories that I've already shared because I feel like there's somebody here today that's not sure what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to share whole stories, but I'm going to share some of the incidences just so that whoever this person is, or maybe people are, they have something to go on. Many of you have heard about the time that I went to the healing service. And I was skeptical about what happens in a healing service. They pray for somebody and they get better. But sometimes in these healing services, you hear about these amazing miracles. And in this particular one, there was going to be an amazing miracle. And I was going to get to be a witness of it. And as the pastor that was getting ready to pray for this man that had one short leg, he saw me trying to look around the people in the pews in front of me. And he called me forward, me and Ariana. He called us forward and we got to stand right at the front. As this man sat right here and the preacher was kneeling before and praying, we got to stand this close and watch the man's leg grow 3 inches right before our eyes. I shared a time where I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I felt like God was telling me to pray for someone. And I figured, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll pray in the morning. I pray when I get up anyways. But I couldn't go back to sleep. I needed to pray right then for this person. And so I did. I prayed for this person. I had no idea what I was praying for, but I knew that they needed prayer then. And I prayed for them. I prayed for God to touch their body, to heal their body, to cleanse their body of whatever was going on. And I didn't know, but God did know. And God was capable of doing nothing. Nothing was impossible for Him. And I was asking for the miracle that this person needed. And a week later, I found out that this person had went through an experience that scared them. They had this thing come out of their body. They had no idea what it was. It was about the size of my hand, just a little bit smaller than my hand. When they talked to the doctor about it, the doctor told them that was a tumor that just came out of your body. A miracle. I know I've shared these stories already. Some of you have heard them. Some of you haven't. When I say pray God-sized prayers, believe that nothing is impossible for God. He wants to do amazing things before you, and He will. Ask God. He will show you signs and wonders that will blow your mind. I never thought in all my life that I would pray for somebody and have their foot grow right before my eyes. Or I didn't pray for them, somebody else did. But I never thought I would experience that. I never thought I would pray for somebody and a tumor would come out of their body all on its own. I never thought those things would happen. But I know that our God can do anything. And so I pray it in faith and let God work and blow my mind as He does some amazing things. I apologize for the little tiny writing. We'll make sure we'll keep you all awake because you'll have to really focus to read this. It was bigger when I typed it out on my computer. If any of you need a larger one, I can change the sizes of it and print a bigger one for you after service. Fasting and prayer. At the top of it, it says the date. It's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning through next Sunday evening, fasting and prayer. The good thing about fasting and prayer is it's individual. We're doing this as a corporate body all across the world. Everybody in the Assemblies of God is joining in on this National Week of Prayer. But the way that you do this is individual to you. Because the whole purpose in fasting and prayer like I said earlier, is not about starving yourself. It's not about showing other people, I can sacrifice all of this so that I can get closer to God. I'm that good. That's not what it's about. All over Scripture it says that God is not interested in your sacrifice. God wants your heart. And so the purpose of this is to draw closer to God. So whatever you're going to give up, it's not about what you're giving up. It's not about the sacrifice. It's what you do with the time that you would have spent doing that. So traditionally, fasting is considered, I'm going to not eat. Some people do it like this. I'm going to only drink water for so many days. I'm not going to eat any food. I'm going to skip all the meals that I would normally eat. And so if you're a person who eats three meals, then you're not going to eat those three meals that day for however many days you're going to do it. But again, that's not what the fasting is about. Those three meal times that you would have spent eating, now you spend praying. You spend reading Scripture. You spend meditating on what God is saying to your heart. It's what you do in that time instead of eating that draws you closer to God. And so, okay, we can take that understanding and we can break away from food. What I was taught when I was first learning all of this in school was it's hard for your body to recuperate from not eating at all. So eat one meal a day. And they called it a Daniel fast. So you eat only fruits or vegetables one meal a day, and you skip the other two, and you spend that breakfast and lunch or breakfast and dinner or however you're going to do it. You spend that time that you're not eating, reading Scripture and praying and meditating on God's Word, God's response back to you from what you're reading and praying about. For some people, you have health illnesses or you have restrictions. You can't go that long without eating. If you have diabetes and you just stop eating, and where's your sugar going to go? And so is it smart for you to say, okay, I want to do this, even though I have these health concerns, I'm going to do this and I'm going to put myself in jeopardy. Maybe your faith is God will protect me through, but I'm not going to stand up here and tell you to put your health in jeopardy. Because what I'm asking you to do in this prayer and fasting is put something aside so that you can spend more time with God. And so that something does not have to be food. This is what I'm going to do this year. Every year in the past, I've done a Daniel fast. One meal of fruits and vegetables. I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why right now. This past year, there has been so many things on my plate and so many people that wanted my attention with different things and my help with different things that I only eat one meal a day. I've only eaten one meal a day for about a year and a half. Occasionally, I'll eat a little bit more than that. Over the holidays, I promise you I ate more than one meal a day because everybody's house that I went to had food at it. But for the most part, that's the way my life has been for the past year. So what am I giving up? If that's what I'm already doing, nothing. So if I said I'm going to do a Daniel fast, I'm only going to eat one meal a day, and I'm spending that time fixing something for somebody or going to somebody's house and praying with them or going and doing this, then I'm not spending that time getting closer to God. And so that's not going to work for me. Every night when I come home the past 3 months, no matter what time of the night it is, most of the time, it's between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night that I get home. I grab whatever was for dinner, put it in the microwave and warm it up. I go into the living room. Most of my family is already in bed. And I turn the TV on and I watch something from Discovery Channel that's been pre-recorded. Or I watch a sermon online and I eat my dinner. And so for the past 3 months, almost every single night, I've watched at least an hour's worth of television before I went to bed. And so this week, my fasting and prayer is I'm not going to sit down in front of the TV and watch TV for an hour at night. When I get home from my day, I'm going to eat my dinner and then I'm going to go grab my Bible. And I'm going to spend that extra time in my Bible and in prayer and seeking God that much more. And so that's what I'm asking of you guys. Look through your life right now. Where in your life can you take an hour? Is it a meal that you can give up? Is it TV time that you can give up? Are you huge on Facebook and so There's a certain time of the day. I know, like, my daughter goes and dances. She's in a specialty dance group, and she dances for several hours. And so I used to go and I would read while she was dancing. And sometimes I would forget to bring the book. So I would sit there and I would look through Facebook and see what everybody's doing. Is there a time in your life right now where you spend a regular amount of time going through Facebook that you can say, okay, this week I'm going to fast Facebook. I'm going to fast Pinterest. I'm going to fast whatever media thing that you're a part of that takes up your time. I'm going to give up that time this week so that I can put it towards God. Prayer, seeking God, reading His Word. Search your heart, your life. Where is that time that you can set aside to draw deeper and closer to God? I want to talk about one more thing before I move on to what the prayers are going to be, what I'm asking for prayers to be. One of the things I learned the very first year I was part of a fasting and prayer, they call it corporate fast and prayer when a whole church does it or a whole denomination does it. It's corporate. One of the first things I learned is that people would sit in church and they'd be like, all right, I'm gonna try it. And then the first day, they would sit down to breakfast and they would eat breakfast and they'd be like, oh, I was supposed to fast that. So okay, I'll fast lunch and I'll fast dinner. And they fast lunch and then they get to dinner and they sit down and they eat dinner and they go, oh, I messed it up. I can't do it anymore. The beginning of our message today talked about sanctification. Many times of getting back up and trying again. As you go through this week, there's a routine that you're in already. There's going to be times where you sit down to do whatever you said you were going to fast and pray through. Don't give up on the week because you made a mistake. Just like life, don't give up on following Jesus. Don't give up on your eternal destination because you made a mistake. Get back up. Try again. There was a song here this morning, and it talked about our sins forgiven. And it drew my mind right to this sermon with we think about, yes, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and everything in my past has been forgiven. But it's important that we recognize and we realize that God just didn't forgive our past. He sees our whole life. He sees every sin that you were going to commit through your whole life, and He hung on the cross for your whole life. Every sin you're going to commit from beginning to end, He saw it, He knew it was coming, and He paid that debt when He died on the cross. That's why Scripture says, should we continue in sin? God forbid it. He doesn't do it so that we can continue in sin and get to heaven. He tells us to follow Him, but He knows every place in our life where we're going to sin. And He wants us to be with Him in eternity, and He paid that debt. And if we'll give Him our heart and we'll follow Him the very best we can, He takes care of the rest. If we decide we want life to the fullest, we don't want to follow yet, we leave this world, we were not following Jesus. And Scripture says, when you knock on that door, He'll say, I never knew you. You have to give your heart to God. You have to follow Him. But He knows everything in your life. And He's paid those debts, past, present, and future. I started with this. In here, there is some suggestions for prayer. Now, I say suggestions because I'm not asking you to just read this list every night. God hears our heart. So however your heart responds to this, pray that way. When you're praying, whatever comes on your heart, maybe your family's going through something. Certainly do not leave that out. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're struggling with something. Do not leave that out. This is a time to draw closer to God. Our church leadership to follow the Holy Spirit in all we do. We have been entrusted with the care of His bride. His bride is the church. And we want to be good and faithful servants with this task. If you spent time in Scripture, you know that this is taking pieces of Scripture and putting it together to explain this. Our church leadership team wants to follow the Holy Spirit in all we do. In every decision we make when we meet and we're trying to make decisions on the directions we're going to go and the steps we're going to take, we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Help us do that. Pray with us. Pray for us. The Holy Spirit to personally lead you through everything we face this year. This is for you. He leads us on the best path as long as we'll listen for His voice. There was a time where I rolled around on the floor right here doing a demonstration, and I'm not going to do it right now, but it was a father trying to help their child. and their child didn't want your help. I can do it myself. Rolling all over the floor, throwing a tantrum. And the father's just standing there. Are you ready for my help yet? God knows the best step for whatever you're facing right now. And he wants to lead you in it. But you've got to listen for his voice. The Holy Spirit to personally lead you through everything you will face this year. Divine direction in the selection of curriculum for our Sunday mornings and our Wednesday evening Bible studies. Laura does our Sunday morning Bible studies, and I don't know how far she's already thought out and prayed and saw God on what's coming next, but I know for myself, leading into the next Wednesday evening curriculum, I'm not sure what our congregation needs. There's millions of curriculums that I could select that would be good information and very biblical to teach on a Wednesday. But I don't want to just come in here and teach more information. I want to lead our congregation in what we need right now. And so God knows that. God knows what we need right now. He knows what each one of the people that will set the time aside to come here on a Wednesday evening, he knows what they need. And so help me pray that God will lead us in the right curriculum, the right information that we need to learn from his word on a Wednesday evening for what we're going through as a body right now. Divine healings in the bodies of families of people in our fellowship. Nothing is impossible with our God. He knows how to give good gifts. He wants to give us the desires of our heart, but he says, you have not because you ask not. Don't leave a blessing behind. Ask. And ask God-sized prayers. There are people in our pews right now. There are people that are not here in our pews right now that come to our church on a regular basis. And there are people that have been in our church that are not regularly attending. And there are people in all three of those areas that need God's touch upon their bodies. They need healing, and it's available to them. We need to pray and seek God so that we know how to pray over them. We know where he wants to lead them. We know what he wants to do in them. We need to pray for divine healing. We need to pray. So as you get to this one and a person's name pops into your mind, or a couple of people's names pops into your mind, pray like you've never prayed before for the Holy Spirit to come upon that person and heal their body. And I'll be praying every time I get to this one that every person that prays a prayer like that gets to see God's hand move and their faith grows through it. A spirit of obedience in our church with attendance, finances, and a servant's heart. Jesus said, teach them to do all I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. There is more than just coming into the church and sitting in the pews and receiving God's message. And so we need to pray that God will speak to our hearts and lead us in these commands that Jesus gave us, in these instructions that he gave us as a follower of me, do this. Hearts to be drawn to our fellowship and open to God's word. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent Jesus draws them. Years ago, there used to be a way to go and talk to people and draw them into the church, and one of them was to go knock on every door in town and evangelize the town. And there's been changes that make that not quite the way to do it anymore. But one of the biggest things that stood out to me when I started going through Scripture was this verse. And it's not word for word, but you get the idea. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent Jesus draws them. No one can accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior until God opens their eyes to receive his message. Until then, it's nonsense. And so we have family that we're trying to talk to, and we're trying to get them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and we're trying to explain everything we can think of to them, and they're just not getting it. They're fighting us off. What we've got to remember is what's written in God's Word, and one of the things is, until he opens their eyes, they don't get it. So what am I asking you to pray for? That hearts will be drawn to our fellowship and open to God's Word, that God will open eyes, that he will draw people, and that we'll be ready for them when he does. Second to last one, that signs and wonders promised in Scripture will be evident here. God testified to the good news of Christ by signs and wonders and various miracles, and also by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That's written right out of Scripture. God testified to the good news of Christ by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and also by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Pray that God will remind us, will open our eyes, will show himself to those who are struggling to believe, that God will present to the person who is struggling with whatever and wondering, is it all real? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why doesn't this happen this way? But God showed me. He showed me that He's real. And though I don't understand the rest of this, I know He's real. And so I'll accept that He's real and I'll wait in these circumstances that I'm in because I know His Word says He'll lead me through them, whether I understand or not. Pray that God will build our faith. The last one, the quiet needs deep in your heart and hidden in your family. God has seen the entire story. Don't hesitate to call out to Him. He longs to hear from you on this very subject. He knows the best way for everything you face. When I first came here, there was a part that we used to do. And one of the things that our parent church asked me to do was stop doing this, even though I liked it. But there was a reason behind why they asked. But what we used to do here is we used to start our service and we used to have testimonies and we would have prayer requests. Every day we have papers in our pews and we have elders walking around and we have ushers walking around and we have prayer slips on the back table. And so if you have a prayer request, there's people here to pray for you. We have a prayer chain in this church that has prayed very hard for a lot of people, and I've seen some amazing things come through that prayer chain. We are very blessed to have some prayer warriors among us. There are people who will pray for you. But one of the things I saw in that Sunday morning prayer request was a lot of people didn't want to put all of their personal stuff out there for everybody to hear. And so there was unspoken prayer requests. And God knows every detail, and He's very capable of answering a prayer request that's unspoken. He is just as capable of answering that prayer if you have something that you don't want to share with everybody else and you go to Him and you say, God, you see everything. You know this is in my life. Please help me with it. If you bear your soul, your heart to God, He hears your voice. He wants to give you good things and He will help you through it. So the last one, the quiet needs deep in your heart and hidden in your family, give them to God. Give them to God this week. Speak them out. He already knows they're there, and you're not hiding nothing from God. Let them go. Speak them out. I don't know where I left off. Scripture says you have not because you ask not, so ask. He knows how to give good gifts. Pray with expectation this week. And I have one more request for you before we close in prayer. As you're praying this week, every prayer that God answers, whether He answers yes, no, or not right now, every prayer that God answers for you, write it down. Because I want to hear about it. I don't need to hear about your details if you're not ready to share details. That's fine. I just want to know that God showed Himself to you this week. That you had a prayer and He answered it. Because you know what happens when you share that God answered a prayer for you? Two things. It builds your faith and it builds the other person's faith that's hearing about it. Because if He did it for you, maybe He'll do it for me too. Record your answered prayers. Let's pray. Lord God, within these words, within Your Scripture, all the different verses that were shared today, Lord God, there is something that was for each person here. And I pray, Lord God, that You dig through our hearts, every little corner, Lord God, dig through our hearts and speak to us this week. For all of us who are going to give time to You that we would normally give to something else, I ask You, Lord God, help us. And guide us through this time. Show us what scriptures to read in Your Word. Lead us into a book, whatever book of the Bible that You want us to particularly pay attention to. Show us Your written Word, Lord God. Show us what's hidden in it. Show us Your pearls, Your gems, Lord God, the treasures that are between the front and the back cover. Lord God, not every single verse speaks to the same person in the same way, but every single one of us has a need today, and Your Word has the answer in it. So lead us to the answers, Lord God. Lead us to the encouragement. Lead us to the direction. Lead us to the rebuke, if that's what we need. Lead us to the correction, if that's what we need, Lord God. Lead us in Your Word so that we can grow and we can draw closer to You and we can leave behind the things that we don't want to carry forward in our lives. Lord God, help us and guide us and grow us. Teach us and lead us and encourage us. In this week, in Your Word, and in this new year, Lord God. Don't let us stop with just this week, Lord God. As we draw closer to You and our faith is built through what You speak to our hearts and what You show us, Help us to continue to follow you that much deeper. Help us to continue all year long searching for more of you. Lord God, you did this for me right now. If I search for you more, you mean there's more? Your word says yes, there's more. Help us to continue longing for more of you, Lord God, all year long, getting that much closer to you with every step we take. Guide us, Lord Jesus. Help us and grow us and encourage us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, I ask this all and thank you. Amen.